Hey kids, you're about to listen to a comedy podcast. That means that none of this is medical advice. If you need medical advice or medical care, please contact your doctor.
Welcome to the Jock Doc Podcast,
where we discuss fitness and health, and how to incorporate our modern understanding of science and medicine into our daily lives, but without it being so boring. I'm your host, Dr. Lennon Smith, .com. I'd like to begin by apologizing to our listeners. We have received some feedback about the excessive amount of technical medical terms I've been using, such as mononeuritic multiplex and cruisin' for bruisin', so I'll try to temper my terminology to a simpler one in the future. Here to help with that is our producer, Cameron.
Dr. Linden, I hate to do this on air, but we have some things we need to turn in that we haven't yet, that we're behind schedule on.
Okay, is this a prank? I just want to make it clear before we start a thing whether it's a prank.
You're asking because it's April 1st.
Fools, yes.
No. It has nothing to do with the day of foolery. This is as real as it gets.
Okay.
We were supposed to turn in the new designs for our merch.
Oh, was that today?
That was today. I know, I thought it was a prank because, you know, yeah. It said April 1st was the due date, even though this was given to us, this assignment, 6 months ago.
Yeah. So, you know, we all know, I thought it was going to be really funny when the day came.
Right. I was like, today it's not very funny, but I can see in 6 months from now how this can be funny on that day.
It's a little funny.
But no, I've clarified with the loan sharks that we took the money out for, or took the money out from, to make the t-shirts. They're asking, when are they gonna see the t-shirts? And we gotta or just merch items in general.
Okay,
to be t-shirts in general. But Dr. Lennon, we've got to come up with a dozen or so merch items right now.
Okay, yeah, no, I thought so. Okay,
and then send them over to the labs at DJ Dillon's house, and then he can conjure them up, whether it's t-shirts or frisbees or whatever we want to do.
Okay, I guess the first, just when I think of what our listeners will need, they're all presumably going into medicine to some degree. Scalpels.
They're going into the hospital.
Yeah, sorry.
In some capacity, for sure.
They'll be in the hospital.
Yes.
Whether operating on someone or being operated on, they're going to be in there. So, yeah, scalpels with my autograph in Sharpie. Yeah. So.
Well, and this is good. I don't know if this is true or not. One of our classic listeners needs to update our Wikipedia page to let us know. I believe last time we discussed about merch objects, your pitch was also a scalpel, which is why that is the product, one of the products we have in our store.
Oh, we already have it. Okay.
But no, but it doesn't have your signature on it. So it's literally the new signature Dr. Lennon. Before, it's just the Jock Doc Podcast scalpel. Now it is the signature, the Lennon Signature Edition scalpel.
Yeah. We release it for $20 more. And that one's done. I guess just to you pitch one. I have another one ready though.
Oh, well, I was just trying to think. I don't know. I'm a little stuck on one. Because the type of t-shirts that I miss that I would like to bring back because we have such an influence on the culture,
mm-hmm,
are t-shirts with sort of sassy sayings on them. You know, where it might says you know, I'm not crazy, you're the crazy one, or you know, just whatever.
Yeah. I mean, not that crazy, but yeah, I can see what you mean.
Yeah, no, I don't want to go into the insane category because I want the t-shirt to be insane.
Well, it
doesn't
be grounded.
To say it's insane, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
What I've been working with, what I really miss is when people used to say don't talk to me until I had my coffee. But that's never really been my experience. My experience is usually don't talk to me until I've had so much coffee that I really, really have to poop now.
Yeah. Okay. And then on the back,
then you can talk to me.
Yeah. And then you can talk to me on the back.
I guess on the back is where it says. Yeah. And then you can talk to me after.
And it will be a pleasure. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that good?
Yes.
But okay. I have a pitch for our next one.
Yeah, what was your idea?
Yeah, so a lot of our listeners who do end up in the hospital, they will need a pee bucket, in part because whoever's operating on them won't know how to put in a catheter or how to, just most basic stuff. So they'll just need a pee bucket. So we're going to have the Jock Doc Podcast brand
if they had like a chamber pot of some sort before, a bedpan, odds are they lost that privilege. That's sort of the thing. They need to be bringing their own. They've like, if that was an option at the specific hospital they were going, is to have a bedpan, they're not allowed to do that anymore. They've been banned from having that access. So like you were saying, it sounds like a Jock Doc branded catheter or bedpan.
I think we do have to call it a pee bucket just for the sake of our listeners getting what's going on, because that's part of why it got banned, is because they were like, this is a bed pan, so I cook stuff in it from my bed. They think it's like a skillet pan kind of So
yeah, that's probably why they lost the privileges from the hospital.
I just to avoid the issues before they come up. After they came up, because they will come up. Pee bucket from Jock Doc brand pee bucket. And maybe with like a little attachment to help them wipe, like a shoehorn, really, because they won't be allowed access to toilet paper either, obviously.
Now I'm just sort of thinking, like, what is the kind of like brand merch that I like? When I'm on the internet and I'm like, okay, I've got to order some merch from my favorite podcast, what do I want? Maybe like going back to a bucket, but like a bucket of dollar bills. If I could pay $20 for a bucket that's full of like $2,000 worth of dollar bills.
Yeah. I mean, are they?
That's what I would want.
Okay. And this is for you to pay your, I'm just trying to think of what I would do with a bucket of a bunch of money. And honestly, like, I'd probably pee in it still.
Oh, yeah, and that's definitely where our listeners are going to go with it. They're going to, if we have two buckets available on the website,
it's going to confuse them a lot. So I think we did it, right?
Yeah, I think that's all the merch we need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
And check out the merch that we currently have at jocktalkpodcast.com. We actually do have legitimate existing merch.
Yes.
And later, we have a lot of practical stuff to talk about, some sort of basic living things. But a month ago, we introduced the nominees for the Jock Doc Podcast Pet. And these were Harpoon Gun, a cockroach, and five cats stacked on top of a Guinness Book of World Records. And we are excited to bring you the results of which one won the opportunity to be the Jock Doc Podcast Pet.
That's right. At the end of this episode, we are finally going to reveal who is the winner of the Jock Doc Podcast contest animal, ranking animal, number one animal mascot of the podcast contest.
That's right. I would like to say though that, so a lot of these pet nominees have escaped. So like that could hinder our announcement a little bit. So just like, be aware, lock your mailboxes, bolt your carpets down. Just like say,
stay out of any sort of shallow waters, anything where a harpoon gun might be naturally inclined to shoot at.
Yeah, because remember, these are animals ultimately, and you know, as much as we think we've domesticated this or that, it's, you can't really domesticate a harpoon gun or a cat.
And as much as it is our right as humans to put these creatures into cages to confine them to maybe my house, or not even really my house, just sort of like my bathroom and then half of the garage.
Yeah.
Can I rant for a second? Ever since Tiger King, people are like, oh, owning a big cat is bad because they should be out and in the, you know, in the jungle and in the desert, and they should have all this area to roam. The puma I own is extremely happy with the half garage / you know, half bath situation that he has been given.
Well, it just in the midst of a housing crisis too. You have to remember that. Like, it's a gift to have a place to stay.
Absolutely. He should be thanking me that I took him out of his home, which was at the zoo, and then put him in my home, which is, you know, that's not my home. He's not allowed in my home. He's allowed in the garage part.
The little pen within the garage that you built up, because like you didn't want him touching your tools.
Well, attached to the garage, but I consider that part of the garage.
Yeah, right.
It's
right.
A sectioned off area of the garage that is attached to the garage that has its own half bath.
So get off our backs about it, okay? Really. Anyway, but like I know that made us upset, but look, before we move on, we need to address some listener feedback. So for a long time, our listener demographic was primarily composed of people who were raised by eagles and then dropped by eagles to their deaths. But in our efforts to cater to them, we found that we were neglecting the many bot accounts that download our podcast. So we've been getting some feedback from TikTok specifically. I just want to, you know, address some of this stuff. So this comes from TikTok. This is a comment on a response to bro, look up edging bro, crying, laughing emoji. This comment comes from @commiesarehot. They said, quote, "It's a medical term. If you're that smart, you should know this," end quote. So you know what? You're right. Sometimes the listeners do get it right. Yes, edging is an extremely medical term that all smart people use. For me, my experience in med school lectures, our professors would drone on and on about edging. You know, they would bring in those big blue exercise balls and just sit on them, rock back and forth, and tell us about, you know, balancing self-discipline and pleasure.
Well, and also, those are deadly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're talking about
blue balls unattended. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's why, like, they're specifically sitting on them the whole time and, like, you know, kind of having to do the rocking back and forth motion just to make sure that things are moving, things are pumping, you know, just for safety.
And then at the end of class, takes out a pair of scissors, pops it, and is like, class dismissed. Yeah. Sort of a breath of relief. Ooh. It's like you've been holding in a sneeze for a long time.
Except like something even more, I don't know, like just something that really thrusts into your attention zone, you know? And I hope that's helpful for you. And I hope we answered your question there. But thank you so much for that feedback. Okay, so this is also from TikTok. This is a comment on our response to "That's Not." @Nender said, quote, "I will drag my balls across yo face," crying emoji, praying hands emoji, "like the grandfather clock emoji. Don't ever let me catch you here again, lil bro," 100 emoji, fire emoji, end quote. Well, so thank you so much for that feedback. That's really helpful.
Yeah, and Dr. Lennon, I know you're a little older than I am, and so you're not sort of up to a lot of the lingo that's, you know, going around. But as a person who keeps up with Gen Z and keeps up with Gen Alpha and is sort of just seeing what's going on, you know, when someone says, like, "I can drag," what did he say?
Drag my balls across your face. Is it a Dragon Ball Z reference?
Yes, Dr. London, I will Dragon Ball Z my balls across your face, grandfather clock style.
Yeah. And
like the grandfather clock. And Dr. London, that is showing respect because you're an elder to them.
Okay. Wow.
So you're sort of like a grandfather clock, the most respectable of clocks.
Okay, so I'm like a Super Saiyan then, right? That's a Dragon Ball Z thing, right?
Is it a Dragon Ball Z thing? Dragon Ball Z, spiky hair guy. This guy's got spiky hair.
Okay, yeah, mine's kind of droopy today, huh? Okay. Okay, well, I guess
maybe like a headband sometimes, or one of the guys has a headband.
Yeah, and I think one guy's green skin. So like
that, I can't confirm or deny.
Okay.
That is sort of a Gen Alpha, Gen Z secret that they will not let me in on. And I keep saying this show was around when I was a child. And they say, "You don't get it." And I say, I don't. You are right.
Yeah. Well, so to this listener, thank you so much. And you can Dragon Balls across my face anytime you want. I appreciate it. I like just hearing the respect. So it's refreshing. We don't get a lot of just kind comments from our listeners anymore. Okay, so this is another comment on our response to That's Not on TikTok. This is from at FKKK, no, sorry, FKKLUKE. They said, quote, "You're cooked, bro," end quote. So thank you so much for this feedback. Just want to say, yes, Cameron was on MasterChef Junior.
Yes, and of course I was eliminated after I was cooked on the show after accidentally falling into a vat of a soup I was making. I was making a very large soup. I insisted on a 9 foot deep pot to stir it all in. And once I fell in, I did insist that they continue to, you know, cook it, because otherwise if they had turned it off, it was going to mess up my whole recipe and whole thing.
I think,
and then
what? There's one important detail that you're not mentioning here. It was MasterChef Junior, so to get in, you had to pretend to be three children stacked on top of each other in a trench coat. And so I have to imagine those prosthetics made you lose balance a little bit.
That, and also the trench coat, I got tangled in the trench coat for quite a while within the soup, which is, you can imagine, once it's wet and covered in, you know, a lot of soup and vegetables and stuff, is pretty dang heavy. Like, it's trying to swim with jeans on, you know what I mean? Like, it's not gonna be good.
Yeah. Okay, and so,
I wasn't wearing jeans, though. I was just in my underwear.
Did you?
Besides the trench coat.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So, did they give you three paychecks or one? I think that was ultimately the issue that you had at the end, right? Did you manage to get all three paychecks for the kids?
Oh yeah, because when you're competing on MasterChef, you do of course get a paycheck. You're getting a salary. We're salaried employees as contestants on MasterChef. And yes, I was collecting all three, but that I was eliminated because the soup sucked. I changed the name to Cream de la Cameron, because I thought maybe, you know, the fact that it was mostly, you know, Cameron juices at that point would sort of change the recipe. They did not like it.
That's tough to hear. Okay. So I guess, do you want to just boycott them from now on? Is that how we're ending that?
I would say don't judge someone who's cooked until you've been cooked yourself. That's what I'm going to say.
Okay.
Give it a shot first before you say, oh, you're so cooked. Oh, you should be eliminated from the show. Oh, your soup's disgusting. Oh, I don't want to eat soup that you've been swimming in for hours.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Ugh. Okay. Well, so I hope that comment helped. I hope our response helped you, listener, and please keep those medical questions coming. Now for today's medical topic, pre-renal azotemia. So pre meaning before, renal is referring to kidneys, and then azotemia is nitrogen and certain other products in the bloodstream. So pre-renal azotemia is one of three types of acute kidney injury. Acute kidney injuries characteristically have a decreasing creatinine clearance, which causes a sudden rise in BUN, that's blood urea nitrogen, and creatinine. Pre-renal azotemia in particular is caused by inadequate perfusion of the kidney, meaning there's not enough blood flow going to it. So the kidney's normal, with a pathology occurring before the kidney. So it's pre-renal. Any case of hypoperfusion or hypovolemia will raise the BUN and creatinine, with the BUN rising more than the creatinine. One cause of pre-renal azotemia is hypotension. That's low blood pressure. This can result from sepsis, anaphylaxis, bleeding, dehydration. They can have hypovolemia due to diuretics, burns, or pancreatitis.
I want to let you do your medical lesson. I just want to. But dehydration is a myth. I thought we've already covered that on the show. I swore you did a medical section on how, like, you don't have to hydrate, you don't have to drink water, you can't be dehydrated. That's not like a real thing. That's just something that was invented by Dasani.
We talked about branding for Dasani, but I don't think we talked about how it was fake, the water drinking.
I mean, I guess I thought that was the understanding, because what other logical reason would there be to, like, sell water in plastic bottles but also have it coming out of sinks if it wasn't just completely worthless, you don't need it, it's just a marketing product?
Yeah, and I think, okay, I would say water out of your sink is probably roughly as good as the bottled water, generally speaking.
Yeah. No, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's free because it's worthless. No one needs it. They're like, yeah, fine. If you want a spout in your house that shoots out this free stuff, go ahead. But then, Dr. London, this company comes along and is like, hey, give me $3 for a cup of it.
Have you tried?
And so suddenly it has value. Suddenly the scientists are like, oh, you got to drink all this water. Oh, aren't you so thirsty? Oh, no.
I see what you mean. Okay, so because it's valued less in other scenarios, you assume that that's the real value that should be applied to it regardless of whether it's bottled or not.
I just think there's no value to it at all. I think it would be like saying suddenly that your body needs to be eating dirt. And coincidentally, Nestle comes along and creates dirt treats.
Yeah, you're talking about chocolate?
Yeah, I guess sort of.
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess medically I would say like hydration is pretty important. And I get that you've been on your hydration fast for a while and you have been trying to kind of make that a thing nationally.
Yeah. Well, water weight, Dr. London.
Yeah.
And water poisoning.
Yeah. No, I get that. Yeah. Which those are things, but so renal artery stenosis is another cause of prurenal azotemia. So even though the blood pressure may be high, the kidney is underperfused because the specific artery supplying it is clogged. Patients with prurenal azotemia can also have relative hypovolemia from decreased heart function due to congestive heart failure, constrictive pericarditis, and cardiac tamponade. Other causes of prurenal azotemia include hypoalbuminemia, cirrhosis, NSAIDs, constricting the afferent arteriole, and ACE inhibitors causing efferent arterial vasodilation. So,
and how can you sit here and say that water is food, right? It's this thing you have to eat every day. Oh, I need to eat my water. Got to get my water in. And yet it's also a thing that we swim in. We don't swim in food, Dr. London. I know that very, very well.
Yeah, from the Master Chef.
I got kicked off the dang show because they were like, you can't swim in the food that you're serving us. And yet I can swim in the ocean. I can swim in the lake. I'm drinking that water.
I'd say for one thing, do you drink a lot of ocean water or lake water?
Prior to my fast that I'm on right now? Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Not anymore, of course.
Yeah. So just, and it is hard to make an argument here, but like generally I would say there is a purification process. There's a certain preparation, and one of the points of preparation would be like, let's say for the soup, they would try to get rid of the impurities that you might have added to it, the flavor that you might have added to it before serving it to people.
Oh, and in the ocean. There's a device that can do that, that removes the Cameron part of it?
I think they're trying to not have to make that, but you do really make it so that they're going to have to work around it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see how I'm going to advance far in the next iteration of MasterChef Junior unless we sort of change, you know, the rules a little bit and also, or someone, a Brita or whoever, comes up with a nice filter, sort of filters out my juices and whatnot.
You are still in it? You are still in the next round of MasterChef Junior?
No, I just imagine once they do like All Stars and stuff like that, like I was pretty popular. I became a meme when I fell in that soup and was flailing around.
Yeah.
They're going to bring me back and they're going to expect me to fall in something again.
So
I just would rather not be eliminated immediately because of that. So Britta, if you're listening, please come up with some sort of a filter to filter out my juices out of like a soup or maybe like a souffle.
So clinically, patients with acute kidney injury like prurenal azotemia may present with only an asymptomatic rise in BUN and creatinine. But if it is symptomatic, the symptoms would include nausea and vomiting, weakness, fatigue, shortness of breath, and edema from fluid overload. And then a very severe disease pattern would be confusion, heart arrhythmia from hyperkalemia and acidosis, and sharp pleuritic chest pain from pericarditis. The best initial test for acute kidney injury is the BUN and creatinine. If the ratio of BUN and creatinine is above 20 to 1, the etiology is either going to be pre-renal or post-renal damage of the kidney. And for pre-renal azotemia specifically, you look for hypoperfusion or low blood pressure.
Also, have you noticed when you run your hand underwater for more than like 30 seconds, it becomes all pruney, like a grandma? I want this in my body, this thing that's clearly aging my hand.
Okay. Yeah, kind of like that, the end of, and spoilers here, the end of the Disney's Hercules, the animated one with the swimming in death. His hands do the same thing, okay. Except it's
I don't
death.
Remember how Hercules ended. What I do remember is McDonald's had, you could get a toy with a triple cheeseburger version of their Happy Meal sized burger. And it was like, so it was like a kid's version of a, I'm sure it was just the size of a normal cheeseburger at that point. But yeah. It made you feel very big and strong like Hercules. It was like the mighty, like the okay, mighty triple how stacker.
How this would connect.
I thought it was a bit of a stretch as well, but you know, they McDonald's was pretty successful at marketing, so I'm not going to question them. And the fact that it stuck with me 20 years later, I'd say it's pretty effective marketing. So maybe don't push it, Dr. London.
I think they probably also just Hercules themed toys is really what it made me think of.
But, yeah, no, I mean, that's the whole thing. That was the promotion, and then they had a special burger for this, it that was like strong. The Mighty okay. Herc burger or whatever.
Right. So renal sonogram is the best initial imaging test. Treatment for prerenal azotemia is based on correcting the underlying cause. The majority are reversible. And when the cause of acute kidney injury is not clear, the best next step is urinalysis for diagnosis, and then urine sodium, fractional excretion of sodium and urea, and urine osmolality.
Which, speaking of that, I don't urinate at all anymore, ever since I sort of gave up water.
Yeah. Have you gotten to the point where you're vomiting a lot? Because that's a real thing that can happen from not drinking water.
Well, I mean, huh. I'm
compared to before.
So I'm not wet heaving like normally. I'm sort of doing this thing where I'm acting like I'm throwing up, but there's not anything to throw up.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So that,
which is just my body absorbing every part of the food I'm eating.
Yeah.
Which is graham crackers.
Yeah, and salty, just drier kind of foods.
Yes, plain graham crackers, no flavor on them.
Cinnamon, just cinnamon challenging every day.
Yeah, pure cinnamon, baking soda.
Right. Okay, well, you know, as important as these things are, I think kind of what the listeners are going to be into is kind of dealing with the holiday that we're in right now.
Yes, I assume all of our listeners are respectful enough to listen to the episodes of our podcast the second it drops. When it's midnight on Sunday, I am expecting you to be listening to this show. And so I assume, you know, it's right now like 2 a.m., 1 a.m. or so. Into April Fool's. Hopefully you have not been pranked yet.
But yeah, there's a decent chance. So I guess we're talking to the people who haven't been pranked yet. If you have been, better luck next year, I guess. I don't know.
But yeah, today we are going to be talking about, yeah, how to avoid other people pranking you and maybe how to prank them a little bit to get the one up.
Yeah. So
I think first, before we even give tips, I think we should tell our, like, give a little background into our pranking history.
Right. Okay. So, first I tried to prank Cameron with, I would put this, I would take an egg and I would throw it at his house. I tried that. Didn't work. Very weak arm. I couldn't throw it very far.
Right, yeah.
And it would just crack on my
Laid
own head.
In the yard.
Yeah.
Didn't even get to the yard. It cracked on your own head.
Yeah. Okay. It's just the angle of the throw and everything. Yeah. So so that was frustrating because I would try that for hours and I would just keep stacking eggs on my head.
So my prank history was on this one fateful day in 1994. I was at the, in 1996. Sorry. I was at the Atlanta Olympics. And I was experimenting with a new soda ingredients for my new soda. And that at the time. This was, if you remember, Surge was really becoming popular at the time. And I was sort of doing Cameron's take on Surge.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know that something like Surge is filled with energy and lightning bolts and electricity. Everything they show you in the commercial is that, like, it makes you skateboard really fast, or it makes you, like, bungee jump or something. So how am I supposed to recreate that, especially when I'm busy at the Olympics? So I start mixing all these chemicals together, just shit that I find, like, under the sink and stuff in the bathroom and whatnot. And then, of course, just like all of my other soda experiments, it blows up. It explodes. There's this massive explosion. And suddenly, even though I'm telling people
I just have one question about that. Maybe you should stop keeping so much gasoline under your sink.
This was at the Olympics, Dr. London.
You said that you got stuff from under the sink, right? That kind of...
Yeah. At one of the bathrooms at the Olympics.
Okay. Okay. And it's just, it's whatever happened to be there, Rich.
Yes,
okay.
Because I'm a scientist, Dr. London. I'm experimenting with different things. And they had different chemicals than I have at my house.
Okay. Okay.
So I'm thinking, I'm coming up with a new soda that has a lightning bolt of jolt in it just to compete with this Surge. Anyway, all that to say, I blamed it on that guy, Richard Jewell. And then I guess Clint Eastwood made a movie about him or something. And the reason that was a prank was because I was going to switch out the Surge with my soda. That was going to be the ultimate prank. And then tell people that's actually when they're like, this Surge is better than usual. I would say that's actually Cameron Blast, which was sort of my working title. So let's get into the, prank advice, prank tips. Or whatever we're talking about.
My first bit of prank advice would be when you acquire a child to help you with your prank needs, you're going to want to get a paternity test. And they're less expensive now, but you do have to go to the corner shop and like tell them that you want it. And so it's super awkward at first, but the way to do it, you want to do it before April Fool's. So you have time, but you go in there and you say, hey, could you check any kids for me today? And then they'll say like, well, what do you mean? And then you give them some blood, preferably yours, and just ask them to run it against and see if any kids out there. And usually... Yeah.
You're saying to the guy at the CVS counter, like, doctor, can you run these tests for me?
And they'll seem a little odd, and then like they'll back away from you pretty quick if you don't have the blood in some kind of holder. So you can't just like use a washcloth or something. You do want to have it contained. So that's my first bit of advice for pranking on April Fools is put your blood into.
Yeah, what is the what is the connection between this paternity test?
Well, it's to get your child. Who will later, once they grow up a little bit, they'll help you do pranks.
Oh, but to do that, you have to prove that they're your child first, because otherwise their mother would never, ever let them be around you.
Yeah. Well, that and like, I gotta have a kid somewhere already. That's the hopeful thing is like, surely there's already a kid out there and they just have to check.
Oh, okay. These are strange children that you're sort of just at random checking their DNA.
Well, I'm asking the guy, the doctor.
The CVS guy, around. Too, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you just ask him, and hopefully he... Now, my particular guy, which once it depends on your corner store, but the guy at my shop hasn't... He doesn't even seem to be looking for my kid. He seems pretty confused, but he was a lot happier whenever the blood I gave him wasn't just in a pan. A bedpan or whatever other kind. He really liked it when it was in a container. So, in comparison. So, yeah. So, that's my first piece of advice. You want to put your blood into a container whenever you ask the guy at CVS to run a paternity test against just whatever kids.
I would say, yeah, advice number two is once you finally find your lost child, now this kid is sort of your property and thus has become your sort of prank mentee. Doesn't matter how old they are. If it could, they could be 40, it doesn't matter. You are their mentor, they are your mentee, and they are going to shadow you. And so this is where you need to be teaching them all of the tricks and tips that you've learned from your pranking history, which so far has, like we've said, has just been a massive failure.
Well, it depends on how you look at failure or success. So anyway, unfortunately for me, in my experience, when I did manage to find a kid who matched the test, or at least I said he did, the kid had so many friends who were like skater kids, and they were like really good at it and really mean to me. So I guess my second piece of advice for April Foolery would be, don't let your kid have friends.
Yeah, don't let your kid have friends. And you also put your kid at the risk of, I mean, what happened with me at least is the kid had learned so many lessons from my mistakes, had become sort of a master pranker, and immediately started pranking me. In fact, it seemed like a lot of pranks that I didn't teach him at all that he seemed to already know, but he won't tell me how to do them. But, saran wrap on the toilet, all sorts of stuff. The kid, I would say from the second I met him, he was pranking me. Before I met him, actually.
Oh, really? Okay. Did you do a blood test at him, or?
Yeah. So, basically, I was pissing in this toilet, right, and the pee was getting everywhere. I thought, I don't remember it being like this. Then it turns out that it was this kid who was pranking me. I said, you're probably my kid. And then he said, yeah, you're my dad. Can I have $50? And I gave him $50. And then that kid has been terrorizing me. But I'm like father, like son.
I'd say on my part, my kid also saran wrap, but just my face. Yeah. So that was tough to wake up. Just generally, whenever I was asleep and my face was saran wrapped and I was like clawing at my face. Like it was really funny in hindsight, but at the time, like it honestly didn't even seem funny to me. It felt like life threatening.
Well, I can say related to the saran wrap thing, I pranked my kid a few weeks ago with the best prank I've ever done, in which he was sleeping. I wrapped his head with saran wrap. I wrapped it around his bed frame multiple times, and then I left, and I have not heard or seen from him since.
Coming out on top. Wow. You April Fooled at him.
Yes. It was a little early. April Fools came early this year. Get ready, boys and girls.
Yeah. Okay, I guess my related thing would be my car is on fire right now.
And is that your prank or is that your kid's prank?
I hope it was me, but I don't remember doing it.
Oh, that'd be so funny if it was.
Yeah. So, I'm hoping that it was me, but it could have been because he did have a lighter and gas canister and a Tesla that he was throwing at stuff. So, I know those are also all ingredients for a fire, so I'm not sure. Once again, can't rule it out, though.
This is where you ask that CVS guy who's got the answers.
Yeah. Yeah. I brought him more of my blood, and I was like, hey, who pranked my car? And this time, like, they called security up, and I'm like, ooh, I'll get that answer out of you yet. It was a lot of fun. He talks to me he actually says words to me now sometimes instead of just security. So I wouldn't say first name basis, but I've gotten close enough to read his name tag sometimes, parts of it. Yeah. So pretty exciting. I feel like that's really most of my prank history up to today. But and of course my instructions up to today. So to recap, that's keep your blood in a container. When your kid pranks you and you just saran wrap on your face, struggle, because otherwise you know, a prank can turn a little sour.
Well, and then I would say three is prank your kid back, saran wrap over their head, wrap it around the bed frame this time, leave them alone, let them figure it out.
Yeah, because they're scrappy, these kids. They can figure it out.
Oh, they're so smart these days with iPads.
Hey, so I think that's it. Write down those tips and get back to us about your prank and how you and that your car's on fire. So thank you so much to our listeners. Thank you to Digital, the host.